Time for business news. Jean Pellegrin is with us. He's starting with a look at how the oil markets are doing.
Absolutely, Stuart, and this on the back of Donald Trump's announcement that he would blockade any sanctioned oil tankers going into or leaving Venezuela. This decision could affect the world's oil supply and has led to an increase in oil prices, you can see there, although from lows that we haven't seen in almost 5 years since the pandemic. The West Texas Intermediate up 1.32% and the crude up 1.26% back towards that $60 a barrel mark.
So, Sean, what does Venezuela represent then for the global oil industry?
Well, it has the world's biggest oil reserves, but they're underused. And last month, or on average, tankers going to the country loaded about 590,000 barrels per day. That's only a fraction of the more than 100 million barrels per day used globally. It wasn't always this way, though. The country used to be a major producer a decade ago, but it has since been hamstrung by U.S. restrictions, more recently by the seizure of that tanker by the U.S. last week, and a cyber attack, which has crippled the main state-run oil exporter. All of this has gridlocked exports, which are at this point in time mainly going to China, which is represents about 81% of all of the country's exports recently, with Cuba and the U.S. also benefiting, and we'll get to that U.S. part a little bit later.
Yeah, what impact has it had on the country then, on Venezuela?
Well, oil is the linchpin of Venezuela's economy, and sales of crude is the country's major source of foreign currency and revenue, allowing it to buy other commodities and goods on global markets. Turning that tap off could be punishing. With fewer and fewer foreign currency reserves available, it could lead to hyperinflation in the country, with some economists saying annual inflation could reach 400% by the end of the year, leading to fears over food shortages and more hardship for Venezuelans.
It's a bit of a strange twist to the story, though. A U.S. firm, also an important stakeholder in the Venezuelan oil industry.
Mm-hmm. U.S. oil major Chevron has benefited since 2022 from a special license to operate in the country and avoid Washington sanctions. This was thanks to measures taken under the Biden administration. Venezuela's state-run oil company PDVSA, works with Chevron to drill in the country's Orinoco Belt, producing about 300,000 barrels a day and employing about 3,000 people. That's about a third of the country's total production. Chevron then supplies about half of its oil output to the Maduro government, who can then try to sell it to China or other countries using a shadow fleet. So Trump's announcement means Chevron will be able to continue to ship its own oil out of Venezuela, but it'll be much harder for Caracas to sell the oil drilled by Chevron.
Let's move to some other business news. This is an update on the possible future of Warner Brothers.
Reports emerging that the leadership at Warner Brothers Discovery will urge their shareholders to reject the $108 billion hostile takeover bid by Paramount Skydance, which came on the back of Warner Brothers announcing a deal to sell its film and streaming businesses to Netflix for $72 billion. This comes as one of the major financiers of Paramount's bid, Affinity Partners, which was founded by Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has reportedly pulled out of the bid. Paramount's offer is set to expire on January 8th.
And we're going to end with a look at ticket prices for the FIFA World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Supporters of more modest means are really confronting what are eye-watering ticket prices, especially in the U.S., where the so-called dynamic pricing model for live events has taken hold. Faced with mounting criticism, FIFA has now announced a new tier of heavily discounted tickets at just $60 each, intended for teams' most loyal fans. But the allocations are small. Fan organizations are calling the move a hollow gesture from one of the world's wealthiest sports organizations. Brian Quinn has a story.
A new batch of cheap seats for the World Cup. On Tuesday, FIFA unveiled what it calls supporter entry tier tickets, priced at $60 each.
Fans of the national teams that have qualified for the FIFA World Cup 2026 will benefit from a dedicated ticket pricing tier, which has been designed to make following their teams on football's greatest stage more affordable.
The move follows widespread outcry after the pricing structure for the upcoming tournament began to emerge with the opening of ticket lottery windows last week. Tickets range from $180 to $700 for group stage games, with entry to the final reaching over $8,600. Prices at most levels orders of magnitude higher than 2022's Cup in Qatar. Fan groups have called those levels extortionate, decrying a monumental betrayal of the tournament's traditions of cross-cultural inclusiveness. They point out that the new $60 tickets will make up just 1.6% of each stadium's seats, and that the next cheapest tier is 15 times as expensive.
It is a step into the right direction, but it's clearly not sufficient. The gap between two categories is enormous. So it is a good and a fair price for some, a few hundreds of fans. And then when you move on to the next step on the ladder, it's very, very expensive.
The 2026 World Cup appears set to break new ground for FIFA's money-making proclivities on a number of levels. Newly mandated rest periods for players will open up space for lucrative TV ad slots. Meanwhile, the addition of so-called dynamic pricing based on increased ticket demand is likely to drive costs for fans even higher.
Charles, thanks very much. Charles Pellegrin with the business news.